Bible text together, and we'll try to bring the message I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart for this evening.
Amen.
Got here tonight and found the furnace back there quit again, and the microphone here was, the clip was broken. So the Lord must be planning on wanting to do something good. Amen.
Amen.
When everything goes wrong, He must be trying to do something right. Amen.
Amen.
No, He's not trying. He will do. There is not a power in the world can stay the hand of God. Not even the devil. No. The devil may be powerful, but our Lord is all powerful. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Thank God for that. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible now to the book of Psalms, chapter number 42. Psalms 42, a very familiar chapter in the Word of God. And pray for me. My cataract on my left eye has gotten worse in the last couple of days again. I go through these infection routes and then the cataract gets worse. And the glasses don't do me much good at all. And so if I go back down to the doctor and they're like this, they'll just give me another pair of glasses. And that'll make five pair I've had in the last year and a half. So I think I'll just get me a magnifying glass and use it when I need it. Amen. All right. Chapter number 42 of the book of Psalms. The psalmist David writing here, and he says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." And by the way, that word holy day is where we get the word that's used today, holiday. These left-wing idiots that's fussing about saying Merry Christmas, that they think we ought to say Happy Holiday, well, what you're saying is Happy Holy Day. And so they need to read their Bible and study the Word of God a little bit. And really, there's not that much difference, because His birth was a very holy day. I'd be glad when God shuts their mouths and the gainsayers alike. "What art thou? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him,
Amen,
who is the health of my countenance and my God." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the song service tonight. Thank You for visitors in the house of God. Thank You for the privilege to be here. Thank You for the Bible that we have, the privilege and opportunity to preach it. Now I pray that You'll bless me and make me a blessing to the people that are here tonight. I ask You, Lord, to fill me with the Spirit of God with great power and wisdom. Unctionize me from above and from within. Give me the grace that I need tonight, the liberty in the house of God, to preach this text as you've laid it upon my heart. May sinners come to know Christ tonight. May your people be revived. May those that have special needs in their heart, may they be met tonight, whether they be sorrowful or a broken heart, grieved spirit. Whatever the need is, I pray that you'll meet it. Whether it's sickness or affliction, whatever, I pray that you'll meet that to the glory and honor of God and have your divine will and way. Help us, I pray, Lord, to submit, to surrender our wills to the very perfect will of God, and may it be accomplished in every heart, every home, and every family that's represented here tonight, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read verse number 1. This is where I'm going to be taking our text from tonight. For the Bible said there, as a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And I want to preach on that simple thought for a little while tonight, on the panting heart. Amen. That person that is truly panting after the living God, not in outward motion, but in inward spirit. That man that is truly thirsting after the Lord. I'm not sure that there's many today that have a real craving or a real longing, a real hunger for the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I know a lot today that want His blessings, but I'm not too sure how many want the blesser.
Amen.
But we'll ever learn that with the blesser comes the blessings.
Amen.
And without the blesser, there are no blessings.
Amen.
I've said this over and over again. I'll say it again. The greatest need in our churches today is for once again for us to experience the power and the presence of the Lord in our midst. But we'll never see that until there is created within our heart a burning, a desire for the Lord. Not just His benefits, but for the Lord Himself. David here was panting for God as a hart panteth after the water brooks. The Bible said that he was thirsting for God.
Amen.
And he's referring to the God of glory. For he said, the living God.
Amen.
The living God. Not just a God. You know, there's many people today that are worshiping a God.
Amen.
But there's not many truly born again ones that's worshiping the God of glory. There's only one God.
Yes.
Paul said that there's one God. And one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And it is this God that we're preaching about tonight,
yes,
that David is panting after. He's longing after.
Yes.
He's got a hunger for. He desires Him to be with him in his daily life, as his daily companion,
yes,
as that one that is called alongside to help him.
Yes.
Let me stop right there and say, I think we've forgotten that we have a comforter,
yes,
that has been called alongside to help us.
Amen.
He is our constant companion.
Yes.
Thank God He dwells within,
yes,
and comforts us in times of sorrow and grief.
Amen.
And blesses us in times of trouble and delivers us on top of that.
Yes.
Amen. David said, oh, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that's where our hope is at tonight. Some folks are hoping in the election. I've got my preferences about that. But I'm telling you, my hope is not in who's elected president. My hope is in God Almighty tonight. He is the one that can lift me up when I'm down. He is the one that can bless me when I'm broken. He is the one that can encourage me when I'm grieved and broken in my spirit. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, the psalm here that is set before us shows us a godly soul who apparently is under the sense of the absence of God. Somebody said, how can that be? Oh, it can be. He said he's panting after God as a hart panteth after the water brooks. And he's thirsting after God, even the living God. Now, you don't thirst after someone that you have. You don't hunger after something that you have eaten and got full of. That's right. You don't thirst after you've drunk all you can hold. You are thirsty when you're dry. And David said here, my soul is dry. I'm thirsting after God. Where is God? When will I come and appear before God? Said in one place, why has God forgotten all about me? When have you ever felt that way, that God has forgotten all about you? Somebody said, I've never felt that way. I have. More times than I'd like to count, I have felt like God has deserted me and left me. Thank God I've got the Bible, though, that tells me that He will never fail me, neither will He ever forsake me. But I'll tell you what He will do. He'll withdraw Himself from us. And apparently He had done that in David's life. He had withdrawn Himself in David's life, and David sensed that absence of the presence of the Lord. He does that for testing and trying. God's going to test you, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe that's right.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, if you're really saved by the grace of God and He withdraws Himself, you'll be like that little bride in chapter 2, I believe it is, in chapter 5 of the Song of Solomon.
Yes.
You'll get up and go into the streets looking for Him.
Yes.
You will not tarry behind, but there will be an immediate response to His absence, and that response will be an immediately, you're going out and looking for Him in the Bible, in prayer, in preaching, in worship, in praise, in adoration of our great God. That's right. That's right. He's going to test you and He's going to try you. And He'll withdraw Himself to do that. May I say also that He'll prove the sincerity of your love. He'll withdraw Himself to see whether you really love Him or not, or whether you love the world. There's a lot of folks that profess Christ that don't know Him. That's right. And He'll test them the same way God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 7 is in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. And it said the rains came and the winds blew on the saved and the lost in the same manner. And I'll tell you, He'll prove whether you really love Him or not. And if you love Him, you can't live without Him. Amen. If you love Him, you cannot live without Him. You have to have Him every day in your life. You have to have Him. I know that's right. I've been there and done that and got a t-shirt for it. Amen. And then He'll prove your faith. You know that faith is like film. It's developed in a dark room. And God will withdraw from you and leave you in a dark place sometimes, to see if them little faithful fingers of yours will try to reach out and find Him.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, I don't believe that. You need to read your Bible a little more.
Amen.
Amen. Old Brother Job said, I looked up ahead. I couldn't see Him there. I looked behind and He wasn't there either, on the right hand and the left, and He wasn't there either.
Amen.
So David's not the first, and neither is David the only man that the Lord has withdrawn Himself from. Two times in the Song of Solomon, He withdrew Himself from that little bride to prove her and to test her. And every time she felt a sense of His absence, and it grieved her in her spirit, and she, like a little hart panting after a water brook, went out panting after the Lord. She had a desire to have Him back in her life. Amen. Now, you go on down through the psalm. Now, I'm not going to preach through all of it, so don't get shook up now. You'll find David in some deep depression. First, we're oppressed. Then we're depressed. And Christians can be depressed. If you don't get help when you're oppressed by the devil, you're going to get depressed and discouraged in the way. That is exactly right. But it also shows us there the strong consolation we have in God. I'm here to tell you, He is our only hope. And He's our only hope for revival. Brother, I'm telling you, people are preaching and talking about revival tonight, but I wonder how many really want revival. How many are willing to pay the price for revival? We'll never have revival without the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Oh, may the great God of heaven breathe on this place just a little breath of divine life and give us a little space of reviving in the church here at Island Ford Baptist. Amen. God to have His presence, ladies and gentlemen. He said, without me you can do nothing. Got to have His presence. Now stay right with me then. I'll get to the message in a minute. The psalm It is a cry of a man far removed from the outward ordinances of worship, of the worship of God. He's sighing. He's a sighing for and a longing, loving, spiritual believer who is under depression. And he's longing for the renewal of that divine presence. He is struggling with doubts, and he is struggling with fears. And have you ever been there? Nod your heads up and down and say amen. That there's times when you wonder where God is in your life and what God is doing in your life. Amen. And that's exactly when the devil's going to come around and plant doubts in your mind and plant fears in your life. Say amen. Come on now. And that's right. But here is also, he is by faith. He is holding his ground by the faith in his living God. Now I'm telling you, we can stand our ground if we'll put on all the armor of God. Brother Steve and Tammy come by last night. And little old Levi said, "Papa, I'm going to show you my Christmas present." And I said, "All right, what is it?" And his daddy told one of the kids, said, "Go out to the car and get it. And take him out there with you." In a little bit, here come that little feller about that tall walking back in there. And he looked like a knight in shining armor. And he had a helmet on, said, "The helmet of salvation." And he had on a breastplate, said, "Righteousness" across the front of it. And he had a sword that said, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Amen. I said, "Son, you've got it on." I said, "You can withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked with that on." Now I'm telling you, David here, although he has doubts and fears, has arisen in his heart, yet in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he puts on all the armor of God and stands his ground. And in the final verse of that chapter, he said, "I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Amen. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, stay right with me. The occasion of David's flight here, he's fleeing Jerusalem, and it's because of the rebellion of Absalom. He's being driven from the place of worship. He's being driven from the city of God. And not only is he troubled, not only is he oppressed, not only is he full of fears and doubts, but his heart in this particular time, and I've never seen this until today, had to be filled with sorrow.
Amen.
Here is his own son that is turned against him.
Yeah.
His own flesh and blood has revolted against his authority.
Yeah.
And there goes David riding on that horse, barefooted, with his head covered, going up out of Jerusalem,
amen,
weeping every step of the way,
amen,
that he takes up that mountain. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. When there's family involved in your troubles, it'll always bring grief and sorrow. You better say amen right there. Whether they're near relative or distant relative, I'm telling you, it will always lead to sorrow in your heart. It may be a wife or a husband, a son or a daughter, but it will bring sorrow in your heart. And David here is grieved in his heart, but he's still got confidence in his God. He's still panting after God. He's still thirsting after God. He said, "I will not let oppression, I will not let discouragement, I will not let doubts, I will not let fears, I will let none of this, not even sorrow, put a wedge between me and my God. I will serve my Lord." Amen. That's right. Now, he's been driven from public worship, from the house of God, and he longs in his soul for that blessed communion he's deprived of. And nothing but God's divine presence will satisfy.
Amen.
It's just like a little child. There's mommies in here tonight. You can get a hold of this. That little child, just like little Carol over today, she found out she had an ear infection. I don't care who held her, she wasn't satisfied.
Amen.
She cried. I don't care if Deucey held her, Papa held her, one of the kids held her. You know who she wanted? You know when she shut up crying? When mama got a hold of her. When she was sitting on mama's lap. When her head was laying in mama's bosom. And David is saying here, hey, no one else can help me. There is no help in any other. I'll lay my head in the bosom of Christ and find help in Him. He said, I will cry to the one who is a present help. Thank God in trouble, He's a present help. And I'll lay my head in His bosom and I'll find comfort from Him. And grace from Him. And He is the only one that can help me. Is everybody still with me? That's right. I see in our text a couple of things that don't seem to go together, but it's there. I see both sin and grace, and they're mingled together. Now that don't sound possible, but they are. They're mingled together. Somebody said, how are they? David here is separated from God. And I'm going to tell you something. Sin separates from God. Amen. Therefore, there is sin somewhere in this chapter.
Amen.
Possibly in David's life. I'll tell you what I think David's doing. I believe David is reaping what he sowed with Bathsheba.
Amen.
And when communion is broken with God, there is sin. Sin is the only thing that can do that. But at the same time, there's grace. And there's grace because David is longing after God. He's still thirsting after God. And that's grace. And by the way, it had to be put there by the Lord. Oh, that proves God's love for His children. I know that communion's been broken. And by the way, God took the first step in saving you, and God will take the first step in restoring you. When that fellowship is broken, God will be the first one to take the first step to restore that. You better believe He will. Amen. Now, David's fellowship and communion is broken. That's sin. But the longings of his heart are for restoration. That's grace. It's sin indeed to be away from God and have no desire to return. But if we have the Lord, He ought to be near, and He's near and dear in communion. The next best thing to having Him is to be utterly wretched without it.
Amen.
Our problem is God can withdraw Himself to prove us, and we get self-satisfied where we're at. If God withdraws Himself, it's better to be miserable and wretched than in that condition than it is to be happy in that condition. God, have mercy on somebody that says, I'm saved by the grace of God, and the Lord can depart for them from a season for testing and trying, and they say, I'm perfectly happy in the shape I'm in. May I say to Island Ford Baptist Church tonight, if you can truly stand up and tell me you're satisfied, tickled pink in your heart, with the spiritual condition that we're in tonight, then I have to say you're probably a lost person.
Amen.
I'd rather be, if I'm going to be without Him, I'd rather be miserable without Him.
Amen.
I'd rather be made wretched and miserable than I would to be complacent and satisfied without His presence. That's what happened to the Laodicean church, by the way. They get real complacent with where they are.
Amen.
Don't realize that they're miserable and wretched and naked and poor and blind. And I'm afraid that's where most Baptists are living tonight.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
And let me say this. Hey, the next best thing to living in the light of the Lord's love is to be unhappy till we have it again. Us being unhappy, it is unnatural for a Christian. Boy, it got quiet. It is unnatural for a Christian to be unhappy.
Amen.
He's come that we might have life.
Amen.
Somebody finish it. And that we might have life more abundantly.
Amen.
And it is an unnatural thing when we don't have that happiness.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
When we get unhappy, we ought to say there's something wrong. David went 7 years of famine and sent his men out and sent Joab out to number the people. Joab said, why do you want to do this sin against God? In so many words, David said, do you realize it's been 7 years in this famine? And if he went back and read the law, 7 years without famine was a picture of God's absence. God had withdrawn His blessings, and David ought to knew that. And the famine made him unhappy. But rather than seek God like he did here, he numbered the people, tried to prove his strength. And that's what we'll try to do. We'll try to bolster ourselves up in the flesh and say, oh boy, we praise God, we can handle this thing. Amen, I'm doing all right. You ain't doing worth a flip. Ain't none of us doing worth a flip. But you's booger and you know it. We need God. You live long without God, you'll make wrong decisions. You'll make bad judgments. You'll lose the sense of direction you're traveling in. Got to have Him. I say amen. Now, I've got three little points and I'm done. I want to say, number one, the character of David's panting heart. He said in verse 1, as a heart panteth after the water brooks. May I say to you that it's a natural thing for a Christian to pant after God. Amen. To long for Him. That's what that literally means. To have a longing, a hunger, a desire. It is a natural thing. It's a natural thing for a little, for a little heart that has the hounds hot on its trail to run to that water, to run to that water brook. And I'm telling you, when the hounds of hell get on the trail of a child of God, it's a natural thing for us to have a longing in our heart for His presence in our life. He is the only one that can stay the hounds of hell that's on our trail. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. That's right. And he didn't look at this as just the sweetest of luxuries. He looked at it as an absolute necessity. Water was a necessity, or is a necessity, to a panting deer that's running from a pack of dogs. It's a necessity. It's got to have it. Without it, it'll die. Without it, them hounds will catch that little deer. Now I'm telling you, it's an absolute necessity in our life to have His presence. Amen. You might blunder along a little while without it. It's not a luxury to have Him. It is a necessity, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. In His presence is fullness of joy. Amen. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. In His presence is light. In His presence is love. In His presence is liberty. In His presence is joy, worship, praise, prayer, preaching. Amen. Salvation of the lost. Amen. Is anybody listening to anything I'm saying? I hope so. That's right. Now, so his pantings are instinctive. It's just instinct when he's not around for a true born-again child of God to have a longing in their heart for him again. All to sing and to see him show up in the singing. Sing, pray, He inhabiteth the praises of Israel. And to sing praises unto Him. And know that He gets in the song. Amen. Before He ever gets in the sermon. Amen. If we can get Him in the song, yes, He'll get in the sermon. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Somebody said, I don't like none of that noise. Boy, I love it. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I like old time worship. I like to make the rafters ring. Sing for joy. Sing, all ye land. Sing the song of the redeemed. For you once were lost and now you're found. You were dead and now you're alive. Blind and now you see. Praise God. We sing over that and we get him in the singing. He'll get in the sermon. Amen. Now I want to say secondly, his pantings were inward. In David himself. In a twofold way. They came from a renewed nature. Longing after God is proof that you've got a new nature. May I say to you tonight that lost people who possess a depraved nature never long for Him. Amen. They can get by fine with religion. dead, drier than last year's bird's nest. That's why in John chapter number 2, when Mary said, they have no wine. They were living under that old economy, and the joy of that old economy had run out.
Amen.
They got new wine, ladies and gentlemen. That new joy. They got more than religion. They got old time salvation. Amen to God. And if you've got old time salvation, you can't live without it. You want Him more than life itself. May I say to you, hey, if you're truly saved tonight, you would rather die than to go through the rest of your life without Him in your life. Better believe that's right. Thank God. I'd like to see him get so thick in here that these people walk in here to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and just break down. Just couldn't handle it. Just tears and snot. Hey, come in here on Wednesday night and be so much snot on the floors. Bless God, we could skate in the building from crying and weeping. Amen. Get in the paddle boat and row in the tears. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. I mean, get her right. I'm telling you, if you get the tears in your eyes and the snot are running before the shout comes out of your mouth, I guarantee it'll be in the Lord and it'll be all right.
Amen.
Better believe that's right. Amen. Now listen carefully to what I'm saying. But what it does prove is longings that even in a renewed nature, it is not, that renewed nature is not an independent thing which can live on its own resources. It's still dependent upon God. Let me illustrate it this way. Camel's got a hump on his back. How many days can he go without water? Somebody said 37, 38 days in the desert without water. You know why? He's self-sufficient. He's dependent upon what is within Him. But I'm telling you, we're dependent upon what He is. Somebody said, He is in us. Oh, I understand that. I understand that. But I'm talking about being, this proves you can't be dependent upon you. You will fail you and man will fail you. That proves that David was dependent upon the Lord. He didn't say, Lord, I'm just panning after something good to happen. And I know, like the man in the glass outhouse said, something good is going to happen to you today. Something good don't always happen. David was in trouble. David needed help. And David couldn't depend on David. David said, my heart, as a heart panteth after the water brooks, even so my heart panteth after thee, O God.
Amen.
Stay right with me. It's proof that David's love was heartfelt. He said, as a heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul. My heart.
Amen.
My innermost being.
Amen.
Pants after thee. And it proved that he had a heartfelt love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
David's love was not merely a belief that God loved him. Come on now. Oh, we quote John 3:16. God, I know God loves me. John 3:16 is in the Bible. Well, Honolulu, Hawaii, Hawaii.
Amen.
What does that prove? I'm going to tell you what. Panning after God proves that you've got a love that you can feel.
Amen.
That has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which has been given unto you. Do you feel that love?
Amen.
When I saw Miss Hall crying this morning when them last grand youngins went out the door, I started crying. You know why? Because I got her love right in here and I felt it. I felt her love in my heart. Come on in the house now. If you got a love of God in you, you can feel.
Amen.
They'll go to the ball games. Bless God, they got something they can feel. They'll scream and carry on like a bunch of wild Comanche Indians.
Yeah.
Then go down to the First Baptist Church or some mega super church on Sunday morning and sit there like a bunch of knots on a log, because we need to be reverent in the house of God. Well, don't tell that man in John 3 that when he got up walking and leaping and praising God in the temple for him.
Amen.
That word leaping means exactly what it says. He was leaping.
Amen.
When was the last time you cut a shine?
That's right,
man. Amen. Amen. When was the last time you let your hair down and shouted a little while? I've seen them old Methodists back home when I was a boy shouting, met my aunts and shout the bobby pins out of their hair. My uncle shout and cry all over the building. And they were doing it on credit. They didn't even know they had the goods. Praise God, we know we got it and can't get right with God.
Amen.
Now, it also is proof that David's desire for God, it was for God himself and not some outward ceremony. You know what my brother asked me last night on the phone? I call him all the time to find out how everybody's doing. He said, I want to ask you a question, Jerry. You're a preacher. I said, I don't know if I can answer it. He said, why do they light candles in church? I said, well, tell me what you're talking about. He said, boy, we had a real service Sunday morning. I said, what'd you do? He said, they gave us a candle, and we stood there holding a candle. I said, sound to me like you really rejoiced. He said, why do they do that? Now, I'm going to tell you why they do it. And so if it makes you mad, I don't apologize for it. But I'm going to tell you why they do that. It's Catholicism.
Amen.
Catholics believe you can put a prayer under a candle, and while that candle burns, that candle is praying for you. If you don't believe me, go to the Santa Vera Mission out in Tucson, Arizona, and all them Indians, and see hundreds upon hundreds of burning candles inside that mission and out there in a little prayer house and all along the highways in a little bathtubs, half bathtubs turned upside down is what I call them.
Yeah.
They're little, in every little nook and cranny, a candle burning. It's religion.
Right.
I said, Don, it's just a form of religion. It's an outward ceremony. David didn't want to go to church and light a candle.
Amen.
David wanted to come to church and meet God.
Amen.
Why else do we come? If we don't come to meet Him and get something from Him, get our soul charged from being here. Amen. There's no need of us showing up.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I come try to get a little something from the Lord. Amen. Now, stay with me. It's just like that high priest on the high day of atonement. He didn't stop in the outer court.
Amen.
He went right straight through to the Holy of Holies. You know why? God was in there. He was going to God. Going to God. Miss Hall set some nuts out on the table over at the house. And she set a cracker. That's got a big duck head thing you turn over and you can crack them with it. And I've got the crackers that I think that somebody bought me from the party, the fellowship, employee fellowship. I had them laying in there. Now, when I wanted one of them English walnuts, Brother Jerry, I didn't pick up that English walnut and suck around on the hull. It's not the hull I wanted.
Right.
It's not the outward that I wanted. It had a kernel in it.
Yeah.
It had some goody on the inside of it. Now, I'm telling you, there's some goody on the inside where He's at, friends.
Yeah.
Amen, but you've got to sometimes crack the hull to get in there where He's at.
Yeah.
He'll let you do that to see how much you really want Him. Well, you really love Him. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, you've got enough faith to believe He's inside that hull or not. I went running there to Miss Hall. I cracked an almond. And I went running to Miss Hall and I said, you ain't going to believe this. I've never seen it like it in my life, Brother Steve. But I cracked that almond. Them little crackers y'all got me. It had two nuts in it. Double blessing.
Yeah.
Praise God. I've come to Bud Robinson say, done bless me twice. Amen. You get inside that shell, you never know what you're going to find in there. I'll tell you one thing you'll never find in God's shell, a rotten kernel. Amen. I found some rotten ones before. You never find a rotten one in his. Now, his pantings were also intense. That is, they could not be quenched by anyone but God. David's longings begin with prayer in verses 1 and 2. I don't have time. He said, when will I come and appear before God? It began with prayer, and in verse 3, his prayer become tears. For he said in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And then it went right back to prayer again. And I'm going to tell you, if the child of God will continue to cry to the Lord,
amen,
continue to pray for His presence, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that pleases Him anymore. Not just tears, them hot tears.
Amen.
When was the last time them hot ones come rolling out of your eyes that actually literally burnt your face when they rolled down your face? Huh? That's when you really getting a hold of Him. When them tears. Dear David said, my tears have been my meat. I've eaten my own tears.
Amen.
Then he went back to praying. See, he prayed and got a broken heart. A broken heart let him pray more intently. And the more intently that he prayed, developed a greater hope on the inside. And he said in that last verse, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I won't be long right here. The cause of David's longing heart, and I've already mentioned enough of this. I'm not going to mention much of it. Won't mention a little bit of it. Was his problems. He said in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. They continue to say unto me, where is thy God? His problems. They were barking at his heels.
Amen.
They were, hey, his problems. That is his persecution. And it led to ridicule. Where is your God? That's probably what they're saying about us saved people now. We've made our brags about God, and God never leave the world out there saying, you bragged about your God. Where's He at? I know I've got bitter enemies that hate my living guts that listen to this radio station. And when God don't show up, you know what they say? Wonder where His God's at now, boys. Lying devil ain't never had God over there. Where is your God? I'm going to tell you where He's at. Same place He's always been. On the throne. High and lifted up. Praise God. His trail still filled the temple. That's where He's at. For a lost man, He's still on a tree. Amen. For you and I, the saved, He's on the throne. I'm going to tell you someplace else that is in the temple. He said, unto Him be glory in the church world without end. Amen. He's still in the church. Can't never tell where we might find Him in here if we go to look. And we might find Him up in the choir.
Amen.
Get the choir up and let the choir. Rear back with old time Holy Ghost salvation.
Amen.
And sing just as gloriously as they can sing. And you might find Him in the choir somewhere.
Amen.
Get a Sunday school teacher back in the Sunday school room with a King James 1611 Bible. Hammer it out, the Word of God. He may show up in the Sunday school room. You get a preacher up preaching with fire in his bones. Praise God, he might show up there on the pulpit. Get a special song with somebody that spent time with God in prayer and Bible reading. He may show up in a special song. But I'll guarantee you, you get to church worshiping. He'd just fill every pew around here. Come by and breathe on every person. Hallelujah to God. Thank God. Somebody asked me the other night, said, who was that old preacher down there you talked about in Greenville that chinned up that tree and couldn't get down out of it? Well, he wasn't down in Greenville. His Dr. Charles Weigelt wrote, no one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Amen.
He was up in one of the northern states preaching under a tent and chinned up a tent pole. And he said, God left me and I couldn't get down.
Amen.
Lord help, I climbed one up here one night when the church was up there in that big building where Life and News at now. And I was glad to get down. I had more splinters in my suit. Lord, have mercy. My legs was eat up. A pine. It was a pine. Tent pole. I said, I'll never climb another one of them things as long as I live, buddy. That's it. I shinnied that thing. And I'm going to tell you, God didn't have to leave me to get down. I'd have got down if I'd had turned loose and fell all the way. Buddy, I was coming down. My legs was on fire, boy. I'd have some mercury crone or something. Amen. Now, Hey, David's persecution and his ridicule and his problems didn't drive a wedge between him and God. It put a desire in his heart to have God. Most people, it just drives a wedge in their heart. Drives a wedge. His problems were multitude when they began to scorn him. They said, "Where is thy God?" That only drove him to worship.
Amen.
He said in verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. I went with a multitude that kept holy day." He said, "I went up to that crowd and worshiped God, friend." Now listen carefully to what I'm going to say. Here's what helped David. Some past memories. He said in verse 4, "When I remember these things."
Amen.
When I remember these things. Remember what things, Brother David? Hey, past experiences of joy.
Amen.
Praise. It's right there in that verse. Read it. Joy. Praise.
Amen.
I went up with them. Fellowship to the house of God. It's all right there. I'm going to tell you the trouble with some of you in here. You never fellowship with anybody.
Amen.
You never fellowship with anybody.
Amen.
But he remembered. And some of you would just remember.
Amen.
Carry your mind back to 95 and 96.
Amen.
Remember the 5-6 weeks in 96 when this little building was packed. For 5 weeks in a row. We even had holiness people in here. I'm talking about Wesleyan holiness. They didn't speak in tongues and all that. Wesleyan holiness. Filled this building up with us.
Amen.
Somebody said, "You let them in here?" I believe Roy Shehorn was a saved man.
Amen.
Better believe it. I wouldn't have turned them out if it had been lost people.
That's right.
Why would I want to turn somebody out that claims to be saved? Even if they claim to be saved or lost, they need something from the Lord.
Amen.
Most folks want my me and my four and no more. I'm just good enough the way I am. But he remembered. Then there was a perception of the future. In verse 5, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him." For I'll yet do it. David said, there is some comfort, there is some peace, there is some help up the road.
Amen.
I may be in bad state now, but it's going to get better on up the road.
Yeah.
That's why I told you tonight, it's going to get better on up the road.
Amen.
It may get worse before it gets better.
Amen.
My boy asked me last night, he said, "Daddy, do you remember much about some things that happened to you in Vietnam?" I said, "Very little. Very little." Tammy said, "Daddy?" Said, "When did you leave?" I told her when I left December, left the field on December the 13th, got in on K December the 14th, 1966. My orders were laying there on the desk dated November the 17th or 18th, ASAP, to leave ASAP. She said, "Daddy, why were they there?" I said, "Because I was in a position nobody else wanted." She said, "Was you happy when you saw those papers?" Woo!
Amen.
You know why? Better days up ahead. Son, out of the kill zone. Thank God. I'm telling you, there's better days up ahead. We're getting out of the kill zone one of these days. Praise God, we're going to move up a little higher one of these days. Better believe that's right. That's His wonderful name.
Amen.
Then I'm closing right here. There was the comfort of David's panting heart was hope.
Amen.
Hope comforted David's disquieted soul. In the garden of hope grows laurels of victories. In the garden of hope grow roses of coming joy. In the garden of hope grow lilies of peace and praise.
Amen.
You'll only have hope. Hope's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
But we don't hope for the things that we see.
Amen.
For if we hope for that which we see, then it's no more hope. But we hope for that which we see not.
Amen.
There may be someone here tonight and there's a problem in your life. Trouble, a trial, heartache, sorrow, grief, persecution, ridicule in your life. I'm going to tell you there's hope in God.
Amen.
There is no problem too big for Him.
Amen.
None. No problem too big for our God.
Amen.
Let's stand together, please.